they are struggling with it, it can be a bad struggle. So this morning, let's talk about how to be sure that you really belong to God. That when you pray, you're not praying to the air. You're not wasting your time. You know, it happens to all of us. Sometimes when you pray like this in your house or through something, am I really being recognized by God? Is God really paying attention to me? That's important. Now, let's start it like this. We didn't come to God and bribe him to accept us. It began with him. How many of you know John 3:16? What did he say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, just look up a minute, everybody here. If he says God so loved, that means he's wanting us before we started. It's like a woman who gets pregnant, struggle through pregnancy, and the baby comes. The baby should not worry about acceptance. He had a boy or whatever, a girl. The mother had been all along wanting to have him or her. So, number one, the question of whether God wanted us or not should not be the biggest question. In fact, the assurance is more on our side than on God's side. It's like you are asked to come for a party and they put the best food on the table. The question is no longer whether the person will give you food or not. It's whether you will eat or not. So let's go to 2 Timothy verse 20. And we're going to read something that I want us to take a look. Let's go down there. 2 Timothy 2:20. Okay, let's start from verse. Let's start from verse 18. Then we come to 19. Okay, verse 19 to make it easier. Okay, can you look up? Our church is called Rock Foundation. There's a foundation in this verse. Nevertheless, the solid foundation. Everybody, take a look. The solid foundation of God stands. So God is not changing his mind. God is not fickle. God is not emotionally imbalanced. That will say, hey, whoa. He says, he stands having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. Wow. Just like your bank, they know you by your password or PIN when you open that app. Then that's on the side of God. But on your own side now, how do you fully get assured? And let everyone who names the name of Christ do what? Depart from iniquity. Now, God is saying, I know you. I have you. You are with me. I know you are my own. The Lord knows those who are his. The Lord is familiar with those who are his. But on the other side, when you take a coin, you know, you have head and tail. The Lord knows. That's fine. But how do you know yourself? This is how you know. There's something about a person who is on the side of God. He departs from iniquity. Tokwe, come. Now watch. As he's coming, something's happening. The moment when I say Tokwe, come, he departed from his chair there. Am I correct? And the more he comes, the farther away the chair gets away from him. And the nearer he comes to me. By the way, the chair has not disappeared. That'd be Cartoon Network. The chair is still there. Doctor, can you look back to where your seat is? Where is it? Can you point it to me? See, you can still point where the chair is. But it's no longer there. Now, if I say, let's go together now, the farther away we get from the chair, there's one way to know that it's with me. At least he can look back and it's getting far away from the chair. So when somebody says, I am with the Lord, I don't know you and the Lord, but I can know you by how you depart from iniquity. See that word iniquity? That word iniquity is heavy. Papa, thank you. Let's clap for him. Thank you. I always do drama in church and I pick somebody. Some of you sit at the back. I'll come and get you one of these days. Next time, I'll call for Daniel at the back. Okay. Next time, so sit at the front. That's a joke. What is iniquity? That word iniquity means disorder, confusion, misbehavior, lifestyle that make yourself not feeling good about yourself. So when I say I belong and I'm named by the Lord, something starts happening in my life. See, when I say Tope come, please Tope come again. Just see, stop there. See, but it's getting up already. The chair is still around him, but it's getting up again. See, it's trying to do something. Of course, can you slow down as you are coming? Slow down as you are coming. Slow down. Slow down. Okay, keep coming. Now, see, sometimes the speed may not be as much as you think it should, but it's coming. It's getting away from the chair. That's our life sometimes. Thank you. Go back to your seat. Sorry for using this morning, my experiment. See, what we just want to register is this. Is he getting up to come to the Lord? It doesn't mean that he won't make any mistake on the way. It doesn't mean that he has all the speed given. We're going to see that in a minute. I'd like to handle all that. How do you increase your speed? But the question is this. The trademark of the person who names the name of Christ is that as he goes on, he's getting away from that confusion, that disorder, that chaos. One day, my mother said to me, "Ah, you have really changed." I laughed for two reasons. I thank God. And she has not even known me fully yet. I see some things have not changed in, and I'm starting to see change. Anybody here like me? Rest of you are liars. Anybody here, everything's changing in your life completely, perfectly? When I ask you the reason, so how many of you are still changing? You are still departing. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. Now, it's also evidential when we come to church. There's something about church I want to be aware of. I want to give you some warning. Like they say, clinical caveat. Clinical caveat. I'm not a Latin guy. Emptor caveat or something. You know, I'm not poetical. I'm not Latinized. Are you hearing me? Buyer beware. When you come to church like this, you need to beware. Murphy say, it's lay house alone. You see, a church is good until it begins to get bigger.
Pastor, what do you mean?
See that verse we just read? Look at next verse. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold in a great house, big house. Not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honor, some for dishonor. You know, when you started out in life, you and your wife, they have only a few cups. Am I right? I don't remember that. One or two pots. Am I right? Anybody here? My wife and I, we had to pray, believe God for certain things in our house. We got this particular set of plates in 1989 or 1990. It was 45 set, China, this thing. We had to pray, believe God to get that set into our house. I still have some of that in the house. I think I hit with the plate each day now. The plate is still around. Things in our house don't fast, they stay eternal. You know, you can see a pair of shoes for 10, 15 years, they're still looking okay. So whatever is getting old in your house, send it to my house. You'll get it renewed. Praise God. So we see that plate. We see some of that plate in our house. But as your house gets bigger now, you have this for washing toilets, you have that for cleaning things. Now, when a church is small, people usually are dedicated to God because you are few. Anytime you pass number 10, Judas will come in. Are you hearing me, somebody here? Now, I'm not calling you Judas. Relax. Anytime you have a big house, there will be some things that are not really normal there. So, when Jesus had 12 disciples, one of them was a devil. And Jesus never told anybody until toward the end when he betrayed Jesus. So, I want to warn you that when you come to a church like this, the bigger it is and the more we are known, the easier for people who are not thinking of changing coming in to take care and to take things like wolves. I got a text a week or two ago that somebody just called a group member and said, I am Pastor Stanley from Rock Foundation Church. We're going to have something Zoom on the air. I send you this code, reply back to me. So the person puts the thing on the stage. I quickly reply, scammer. I don't have any Pastor Stanley, I have Pastor David. Are you hearing me? Praise God. You see, anytime people begin to gather like this, those who are looking for money and looking for soul snatchers, they come to places like this. And you have to be aware that when a church gets bigger and bigger, it's easier not to take your life serious because Atipo. You know, even myself as a pastor, I have to restrain myself from thinking that we are getting better and we are getting bigger and how things are going on, and to start living as if I'm not that big anymore. You know, I was telling them in the first service today that years ago, I was finishing service, Volokan Day was going with me. And I saw this guy just coming through the door or through the gate. I just smell a rat. You know, I know my guys. I know my colleagues. And I said, Prof, he's looking for a pastor. And I didn't look. Today I'm looking like a pastor. I don't look much like this area. I said, let's get out of here before he find me. But I was not lucky enough. He came toward the gate. I said, he said, Pastor. He said, Pastor, no lawyer. Started telling him. And when he came near me, he stopped. I said, here we go again. He rolled down. And he brought out this magazine, Celebrity Pastor. That's the title of the magazine, Celebrity Pastor. And he said, open it. And he said, hey, look. They showed the pastor's house, the pastor's car, the pastor's church, the pastor's school of whatever. And he said, I do this all over Europe, UK, US. I was praying, Oluwagbami. You know, my best moment, I don't look for the limelight. I want to stay small in my own mind. I don't want to think that now I'm somebody, I've arrived, and I'm getting somewhere, and I'm somebody. Till today, I give my wife a boundary. I respect her highly. I respect my children. I don't want to let it ever enter my head that I'm somebody that people should be recognized and regarded. Why? I know what it cost Satan, Saul. It cost him his life when he got big in his own eyes. So, as a church, I don't see you as church. I see you as individuals. I'm more concerned about your life as an individual. Sometimes when we get larger like this, it's increasing more for me responsibility, and I'm concerned about your life individually. But some people don't care about your life. They're called wolves. They're looking for how to wreck your money, how to wreck your car, how to wreck your purse, how to wreck your ATM, and they come to a place like this, the bigger we get. I'm not saying this to make you afraid not to come anymore. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Now, what should you do? Look at next verse. But therefore, this is the conclusion of that story now. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. That's what I want to see in your life. I want to see you really good, honorable, like we just said about honorable this morning. When you become a commissioner or member of pastor, you call it honorable. But actually, every one of us will be honorable. Every one of us. If all of us are honorable, you have less problems. Are you hearing me? He said, we should be a vessel for honor. What is honor? respect. That we can look at you and say, oh, yeah. But you know what? It's your choice. The church cannot make you that. God cannot even make you that. You are the one to choose, I want to be like this. I want to be a vessel of honor. I want to be for my wife a vessel of honor. For my husband, a vessel of honor. For my workplace, a vessel of honor. For my brothers and sisters in my family, a vessel of honor. That they look at me and say, that guy has honor. What is honor? It's what we give to our parents when they get older. Honor your father and your mother. You see, when you start having a life of honor, people will respect you more. Are you hearing me? I'm not making some sense this morning. Please, I am not here to come and beat anybody. I'm not going to say, hey, you left your life, see where you are living. No, I'm talking about choosing yourself. That I want to. You know, my daughter was in university. And she came in first, she did well. Then she started going down in her GPA. Her GPA. So one day, she told herself, oh, come on. I need to improve this. So she called one of her brilliant classmates. First class students. And he said, hey, girl, help me. I want to really go further. Then the girl asked my wife, my daughter, when you were doing well, what were you doing at that time? When you were scaling the height, what were you doing? He said, I did this. Correct? Then he said, why don't you go back doing that you were doing before, so you can really go further than where you are? And then she heeded to that advice, and she went up. She missed, I think she got 7 class upper, if I remember. 2-1. That's 7 class upper. That's what we call it, those days. All right? So, here you are. You can choose to be a person of honor. Now, we live in a country where the atmosphere, the condition, the circumstances can bend you to be somebody else. To bury $10,000. Let me leave. Oh, we'll be back in $10,000. We'll talk about that now. I heard about one guy who returned money in Kano and they offered him 4 wives. Did you hear about it? Oh, God. Hallelujah. I know it's a difficult country. But you see, if anyone cleanses himself, you know, I'm supposed to be a bad husband. I'm supposed to be a crazy guy. I was a bad guy. But one day it dawned on me that this life is not the end, and I must just choose to be better than this. And do you know that you could come to church today and look at me as a guy who's loving, but I was not loving to start with. I was very selfish. But I chose within myself that I'm going to be this. And so he cleanses himself from the latter. He will be a vessel for honor. Sanctified. That means, see, there are some cups in your house. I have asked some of those cups. They don't come out regularly. Anybody have cups like that in your house? Those cups come out when you have visitors. But once in a while, I get mad. This cup, let's drink with it. It's our own. But they are parked somewhere behind the glass. The plastics are always available. My wife likes me. She bought me a plate to eat with. She looks like, what kind of plate? I said, what plate will anybody? Anybody will anybody say, Molo, Molo, get to go. I like low profile. Prepare for every good work. You know, about God just using you to do anything. God can say, hey, boy, give that one person 1 million there. God can say, hey, let's go to Kenya to help somebody. Can you imagine God doing that with your life? That somebody will wake up in the morning and God said, go and meet. Wow. That you are ready for every good work. I told myself years ago, I don't just want to be a pastor. I want to be ready for every good work. Praise God, somebody. That I can help. I can be there for somebody. My wife, my children, my friends, my colleagues, my members, my pastor friends. I want to be that ready for every good work. But the question is this. How do I do that? That's one word here. If anyone cleanses himself. So you're going to have to on purpose start removing, like I said again, the parts. Am I right? So if you want to live honorable in life, you have to start departing from certain things. What are those certain things? Let's go. Chapter 6, 1 Corinthians. All of us have had our past in this life we're living in with all kinds of behavior. But we have to start doing this. Like when I said to Tokwe, come. You see, that's a call. Now, you have gotten a call. You know the meaning of the word church? It's from the word ecclesia in Greek. And ecclesia means called out once. Praise God. Tell the people, I have a call.
I'm not a pastor.
No, everybody got a call from Jesus. You are called to follow Christ. Amen, somebody. And when you are called to follow Christ, you are called to step out and be different. Praise God, somebody. Chapter 6, 1 Corinthians. Let's read those things that we need to cleanse ourselves from. And I'm going to show you how to do some of those things, and then we'll round up. I'm not here to blame anybody. We're all growing, and we're going to get better in Jesus. It's not that I don't like Nigeria. Nigeria, sometimes all these preachers, they blast us. We are not living as Christians. But they never show us how to do it. Am I right? They never show us how to do it. Why are you living like that? Nigeria, we talk much about the bad. But nobody knows. See, good is more difficult than the bad. See, to put down this house won't take me more than 2 days with bulldozer. But to build this one is effort, takes time. Am I right? The reason why many of us are not doing the good is not because we are bad. It's because good is difficult. Correct? Because if you love your wife now, she'll take you for granted. And we are so happy. I'm a woonie. Praise the Lord. So, are you here? Sorry for old people. 1 Corinthians. Let's go to chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? You know, we quote this verse in the church. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these other things. How many of you want all these other things to be added to you? Thank you. But then there's a kind of a qualification caveat here. He said, some kind of people, unrighteous, will not enter the kingdom of God. Let me ask your neighbor, which unrighteous? Now don't get that wrong. The word unrighteous actually means this. The one who does not have right in God's presence. Now, to be right is to believe. To be wrong is not to believe. Say that one more time. To be right is to what? To believe. And to be wrong is what? Not to believe. So when it says unrighteous, let me tell you. But listen here. The reason why we do bad is because we don't have enough faith in the good. When I go to school and I'm not serious and I don't read my books, usually it's because I don't have faith in the school certificate. But the moment I know that this is required, like one of my carpenters years ago when we started the church in the Yala Mortuary, he never loved physics. He never loved any book, but particularly science, he was against it. So he became a carpenter and he said, you need to improve. So he went to Goteko. Technical College over there. And when I go to Goteko, we started classes for them, and they gave them physics, introduction to physics. Ah! He said to himself, are you a meton? But I must pass this course to qualify as a carpenter. He said, when he realized that physics is essential, he dusted the book, and he said to me, Reverend, where am I clear, dear? And he passed. Why? He believed. If you don't believe in the good, you will settle with the bad. So the unrighteous, now, he start categorizing this unbelief now. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, let's keep reading, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. What is Paul doing over there? Paul is saying, now let me surprise you. Look at this verse again one more time. Now look at this verse. And such were some of you. See that word, were, was it past tense or present tense? See, Paul believed that you are not what you think you are. Are you hearing me? See, we saw that list. Let's go back to that list, verse 9. Neither fornicators. What is fornicators? A fornicator is a person who is not married, but who keeps sleeping with girls, both married and unmarried, in his life. He does not respect the sanctity of marriage. An idol worshiper is somebody who comes to church, lift up only hands to Jesus, and then goes somewhere and collects something along with Kajo. Some soap, some... You know, when I grew up, my father had a family doctor, not MBBS. He had a family doctor. That's where we go to, where we need some spiritual help in Ivory Coast. So when I was coming to Nigeria, I was about to enter university, so I went to see my dad. My dad said, let's go and see Baba Agbon. That's his name. I was just already born again, but I was still not yet fully sure of what I'm doing with the Lord. So we enter this Babalawo's house, Baba Agbon. And he sat down. My father said to him in Jula language, he speaks Jula, that's the language they speak native there in Abidjan, in Abobo, where we are living. And they talk to them. I'm not a language person, but I can hear what they are saying. My father said, my son is here. He wants to go to school. I want us to do something for him. When I came to finish my primary school, he was there. I'll tell you that one later. But this one, when I got saved now, I got down there. Okay, let me reverse. Can I reverse for you? Before I left for primary school to finish the secondary school, university, I'm going to university now, primary school for Nigeria, he gave me a daddy. You tie like this, something small like this around it, it's stick like that. And that was nice until I went to the hostel. Now, when I got to the hostel, all we boys take bath together and then you have this thing sticking out. So, for the sake of embarrassment, I caught it and I threw it away. Now, I got born again. After that, I got into university. My father said to come down. Now, in the light now, I went to go and see my dad. My dad took me there. And he said, we'll do this. Then he said, I should eat particular egg, prepare the egg. Then he looked at me and I laughed. He said, he doesn't like women. I laughed. You don't like bar. You know, I don't laughed. But then suddenly, I said to my dad, tell him I'm not eating the egg. My dad looked at me. He said, what do you say? I said, tell him I'm not eating any egg. I guess the man understood what's going to be on us. You know what he said next? He said, my dad, does he go to church? Leave him alone. Clap your hands for Jesus and God. Leave him alone. So we stepped out. My dad, we got out. My dad, he said, you should have told me. I said, dad, I don't just want to embarrass you. And my father said this, I won't forget my life. He said, we are walking with all the light we know. I was told yesterday, the greatest export of Nigeria by DHL is juju. The greatest export. You go to DHL office, Wari Orisirisi, package buy, and they charge them 170,000. What's on? Because somebody's in China, only the juju. We are not exporting phone. We are not exporting. Do you know, I got a testimony of a sister on Friday, or which day now, and she said to me, Reverend, I want to share my testimony of 1 hour praise. A father called her on the phone or something, and he said, we have to go and worship this idol, Obatala, because when we were looking for children, we pray, we ask Obatala, and you are given to us. But actually, those things are demons. She said to them, said to her father, I am not coming. I don't believe in that. And more so, my husband doesn't do that. But she said one day she was driving her car out. She just seized. And she couldn't drive her car again. That spirit of fear took hold of her. But thank God we have power in Christ Jesus. We just started worshiping God and pray of agreement. Finally, it was pushed out of her life. And she's free to drive around now. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. We have higher power in Christianity. So now, adulterous means you have wife and you are having women around. Next one, homosexuals. That's the thing today. Now, sodomite is the word for men who try to become like women. Feminine. Next one, thieves, stealing. Our country's problem. Covetous, always trying to grab something from somebody. Not drunkards, see all our beer parlors today. Not revilers, talk anyhow. Like my driver, when he came to town, he never knew this was a bad word. Because he had it all around. Willy, willy, oh my willy, willy, willy. So he thought it was a greeting form. But that was from Benue State, from Prof's place. And then he said, willy. So we said, what did you say? He said, willy, Miss Mad. He said, hey, everywhere I go, willy, 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 willy. So I thought it was a blessing one. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, Marco. You know, it's this like, I might just drive rough. You know, those words like that. There's no revilers, no scammers will inherit the kingdom of God. So now, if I want to be in this great house and I want to cleanse myself, I must start choosing on purpose. I know it's not easy to start distancing yourself, like topic getting up, coming and say, okay, these girls, this juju. This crave for money, this lying, I'm going to have to start walking away from it. It's tedious, it's difficult. This anger, this sour personality, I'm going to start distancing myself from it. Now, let me show you how to do that for a few minutes. There's nobody on earth who has not been tainted by sin. Baba Adeboye included. Do you know I had him one time? Baba Adeboye said something. I didn't know he was the one. He said, there was this man that had a girlfriend before he got saved. Those days they call him Abenidese. That's what we call him those days. Up in the, if you are okay. So after he got saved, he got to become a man of God. And he's praying for people to receive miracles. And then that lady that was his former girlfriend had become married and got a child with a sickness issue. And then she heard that there was a man of God that can pray for you and your child will be well. And then she took her child for counseling with this man. And then as he entered the counseling room and they said the man of God is here, he entered to meet the man of God. Guess what? Our former boyfriend. He won the anointed of the Lord. But she had forgotten, he has departed. And he's departing. As he sat down, he said, what is wrong? Only people were a man of God. Oh my, he looks sick. He took the child, prayed, the child was instantly healed. There's been a change. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. Let me tell you why all of us do all these kind of bad things. Because they are sweet. Number two, it's a quick way to get things. Like they asked one girl, what is a lie? She said, a lie is an abomination from God. Huh? Abomination to God and a present help in trouble. See how I just said? Why do we lie? To quickly escape a problem. Am I right? Molowa! Ani Molowa, I say! You look at the phone, it's not video call, it's audio call. Bwaleku. Then he says, put on your video call. Video me, sister. You know? Years ago, I had a kind of experience. I want you to listen to people, all of us have things we're dealing with that we have to grow and depart from. My mom and dad, they didn't go to school much. They were traders in Ivory Coast. So they sent me to Nigeria to go to school. I went to secondary school. Then I was to enter university. I didn't get my jam failed me. So I have an uncle. That uncle that time was working in Ife. He just came back from Oklahoma State, the Baptist University, and he was working in Ife, a teaching hospital. So I went to stay with him, and I was going to HSC, what we call Oscars that time in Ife. And now my dad, his name is Amoson. My uncle's name is Sangodele. But I began to say that my uncle is my dad, because my dad is not here. And I got a friend who was close to me that we just run around together. Oh, you know, sometimes he would drop me at the junction. My uncle would drop me and I would get to school, join the bus. And I would say, that's my dad. So one day, we were in the bus together and I was holding my uncle's book. Name is Sangodele. And then my friend said to me, hey, whose book is that? I said, my dad. He opened the book and saw A.O. Sangodele. He said, your dad? Then I learned the trick later. I didn't know what to do with that, because we all mess up. So I saw this in the Bible that I want to use to help you today. 1 John 1. Let's go. Let's go from verse 5. And I start rounding this up. Our time is nearly gone. But I hope you are blessed today. I want to help you so that you can see this. Let's go. 1 John chapter 1. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is what? It's light. And in him is no darkness at all. Everybody is conscious of that. You will never accuse God of sin. Everybody knows that. If there's anybody you call God, you don't accuse them of sin. You can accuse them of neglect and they are not looking at you, but you never accuse God of that. God is a sinner. You can't do that. We know that. Next verse. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we are lying. So our fundamental lie is not just lying about my father, my textbook, but it's about, are we relating with God well? You see, Tope, if I call him again, and he pretends as if he never had me, all of us do that when we are very small. Not to daddy usually, but to mommy. They call me, hey, Joshua. That's the name they call me. Don't call me that one. Some of them call me Joshua. I just count my mother's voice. One, Joshua. Two. And you know, because I was born in a very practical way, I was not the firstborn, I'm the second, and I have other ones behind me. So usually, for trouble, firstborn. For blessing, me. And for responsibility, thirdborn. You know, I know they want to watch the plate, so I'm not answer. Then my mother will change her voice. I say, David! Ah, we're born away. So we don't respond to that. So God said, if you claim you are working with me, I don't respond to what I say. Maybe if you heard today, Pastor, leave me alone. I just want to. Let me say, you are lying. That fundamental lie won't let you escape the troubles ahead of you and the struggles of life. Let's look at next verse quickly. Our time is gone. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, listen. It did not say if you are perfect. No, if you walk in the light. What does it mean? Now, this is what I understand. I began to see that the key to really living with God is sincerity. The greatest key to God is not that I am perfect, I don't mess up, but when I mess up, I say, God, you know, I did it big time. I mean, nothing to hide. Hello? That reduces, I tell my children, when they were growing up, I told them, I said, I don't care what you have done, just be sincere with me. You took the meat. You didn't. I said, I will beat you until you admitted that you are wrong. Like one girl came to stay with us. She never grew up in my house. So she never knew my style. She grew up all kind of crooked way. So I said, I mean, this was evident. We are only three in the house. And this thing got into trouble. What happened that day? I said to her, you did wrong. She said, I didn't do it. I said, Ugbase loni. Ugbase. So I beat her small. I said, did that? Is that true? No, it's not true. She thought I was joking. 2 hours we were at it. What am I trying to inculcate in her? I'm not saying you didn't do anything bad, but say that you did it. You are the one who did it. That's all. Pastor, I can't tell anybody. At least tell God. I slapped my wife, Benny. My wife said, you slapped me. Don't say, what make him buy none? Like one boy, you know, he was kicking the mother's flower pot. The mother said, hey, who is there kicking my flower pot? He said, the shoes I'm wearing is kicking the flower pot. Then the grandma said, when I come down, the one behind the shoe We get the punishment. So what do you do? Now, let me tell you something. The moment you start doing something about, even when you don't feel like stopping it, start doing this. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. The truth is not in us. But look at verse 9. This is the biggest verse in the Bible in this area. If we confess our sin, it's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Lord, I just lie again. I just lie. You know, sometimes we lie without thinking. Am I correct? Anybody here like me? Welcome, family. Without, before you even think, your thinking is already lying. But what God wants from you is simple. Lord, I just did it. I just did it. That is the breaking of that thing. The more you say it before God, the more you declare it before God, the more it loses its hold over you. Lord, I like beautiful women. You know that, Lord. You know. I like chasing women. Lord, you know. You know. But Uluwai Bamilowe. Period. But if you just say, Lord, it's not my fault. I just feel like, see, just pass me now. You know. It cost Saul his throne. Saul and David sinned. And the sin of David was bigger than the sin of Saul. You know the problem? God said to Saul, go and kill something. He didn't kill everything. And then God said to him through Samuel, you did something wrong. He said, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm trying to do this for God and for my people. And Samuel said, you've lost the throne. And David took somebody's wife. Huh? Taking his wife, killed the guy. And they came to David. And God said, David, you sinned. He said, Uluwa, Ben. And God said, your sin is taken away. Is that all right? Husband and wives here, admit what you have done. You stop talking. Dear, how do you spend the money? You know you bought lace material with the money. You know you bought lace. Dear, how do you spend the money? You know what to do? If you want to be smart. No, I let nobody. But you know, oh yeah. Can you feel that? Listen, you like listen. You're going to be no. Only because I'm more. But with this, I will tell about for work. If it's a wet one, you get away. You get away. If you pay for it, I let you go. You got the gist. You got the gist. That's how to walk with God. Just David said, Lord, I'm sorry, I didn't. God said, okay, cover. Let's go. Move on. I punish you a little bit, but let's go. Is that all right? Confess our sins. And don't call it like this. Maybe you have a woman outside you are married. Don't say, Lord, I'm having an affair. No, don't say that. Lord, I am committing adultery. You confess, you call it by what it is. Lord, I just stole money. Because maybe I was sent me song. Oh, I say, understand. But you hear me. Because you know, send me more. But mess up, Lord, please do. Is that all right? More you confess that, something starts transpiring in your life. A cleansing starts taking place. A cleansing. That's how to break habits. But let me close with this, everybody. If I don't do this, I'll be wrong for you. I need to close with this. Everybody listen to this. And it will help husband, wives, children, parents, school teachers, and co here. Let's go to Hebrews 12. I want to close with that. Let's read this verse in the New Living Translation. Verse 1. Everybody look at this verse. I think we are back. All right, we're back. We're all right. Thank you. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. Now listen, everybody, look up here. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Remember? Slow down. And let me hear your voice. Especially the sin that so easily everybody here has a particular sin or set of sin that is easy for you than other sins. It can be lying. It can be sexual. It can be whatever. Everybody. For instance, I was born in a family where anger is a normal language. then doubly worse, I stammer. When you have anger and stammering together, you have an explosion. Because I couldn't talk, so I used my fist. And it was a besetting sin for me. They call it besetting sin. It's a struggle. People have, some of you over here, you can see your husband, you can see your wife. You know that's your husband's besetting sin. He can't control spending money. So all of us, we must learn to do something with it. All of us have that. We must try to put it aside. You see, on purpose, I'm a person who doesn't care about people. That's where I grew up. I never cry, except for money. Never cry. I was coming home from Ivory Coast. My brother, he has tears, Ireland in his eyes. My senior brother, you cry. I don't cry. I never cry. My brother was coming home from Ivory Coast. My mother was crying. My brother was crying. The car was moving. They were crying. When my turn came, I took my box, my wooden box, threw inside the car. My mother said, "Buy one." Me fine one. Marry you later. Said, "Mumati ebe." Never really cry. I don't care about anybody. But now, I've changed over to caring for everybody. Why? I have to start putting that aside. Start putting that aside. Even on purpose, I practice. My wife's barrel will fall down. On purpose, I'll pick it so that I can learn more. I said, "There are places for you." For instance, yesterday we finished eating. I packed our plate to the kitchen. She said, "Yeah." I said, "No, I want to pack." Yeah, I have to keep proving that to myself, or else I'll get selfish one of these days again. So you are. Thank you very much. God bless you.